Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Watch Matt Bowen. Bowen's a tough guy.
Matt Bowen.
And it's intercepted by Matt Bowen.
Miller, ton of time. But the coverage is good with Matt Bowen.
7-year NFL veteran.
I'll remember this for the rest of my life. I don't know if I ever told this story, but we played out in New England in 2002 when I was with the Packers, and we had injuries everywhere. We were signing guys on Tuesday that started in the game on Sunday, signing them off the street, and went to play Tom Brady and the Patriots. And we played one of our best football games of the year.
See how Brady answers this. Good protection for Brady, and the pass is tipped. And let's see, is it intercepted? It is. The Packers get it back. Matt Bowen off the deflection by Todd McBride with the third turnover committed by New England and the second interception thrown by Brady.
And Todd McBride getting the tip, and Bowen with the play. Bowen's the guy, remember, replacing Antoine Edwards. But Mike Sherman really likes him back there.
And the Green Bay Packers, and this is an unlikely victory today because they had all the cards stacked against them.
I always remember when Belichick and Charlie Weiss during pregame warm-ups, they walked over and watched us warm up. They must have been saying, who are these guys?
I wish I had an answer to it. There's not much good going on out there.
Matt Bowen.
I have a simple rule with beer. I only drink beer that you can buy in 30 packs. So I'll leave you with that.
With Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Our conversation with Matt Bowen is brought to you by McGrath Acura in Westmont. When you do the math, you'll choose McGrath.
Matt Bowen, did you hear that work that Chris Tannehill did finding the play for the story that you told last week?
Yeah, that was awesome. That's big time stuff with Chris. Brings back some great memories. See, I always told people that ball was deflected when I intercepted Brady. I don't tell people that, obviously. I tell them it was a... You know, because there's a picture in the USA Today back then. It looks like I'm catching with one hand. It was really tipped like 3 or 4 times. So I just tell people I had a one-hand pick versus Brady.
You run with that, sir. And you have every right because it's
and
true.
And the beauty of it is drafted right after.
Oh, that's right. Back to back.
Yes.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, 2000 draft. I was number 198. Brady was number 199.
How about that? For anybody who didn't realize that, our guy Matt Bowen drafted right next to Brady. Tom Brady cloned his dog. We found out this earlier today, that his dog is actually a clone of his former dog from a company that he's an investor in. And now we're wondering, you think it's possible? It's true, Matt. You think it's possible he's going to clone himself and try to raise a quarterback to be even better than him? Your thoughts?
I don't even know what to say, Steve. I mean, this can't be real, right?
The dog cloning is real.
Yeah, apparently it is. I don't know. It's probably dangerous territory. We should just move on.
You think so? I don't know, man.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, whatever. Yeah. You guys are chickens.
Yeah, all right. Well, how about this? What was your experience like watching the Bears game on Sunday?
I'm a defensive guy, so there were some tough moments watching that game. If you're looking just at this football game, on both sides, Cincinnati's defense, what we saw from the Bears, there's a lot of negative plays on that tape. I went back today and watched, you know, the Bengals pass game. And remember earlier in the season, maybe it was the first week of the season, when it talks about the ability to limit explosive plays, right? And how important that is from a defensive perspective. The Bears gave up 10 explosive play throws to Joe Flacco. 10. That's an enormous number, enormous. And there's multiple reasons for it. It's losing one-on-ones. It's not getting to depth or not squeezing the seams in cover two. There was a busted coverage on a crossing route where Stevenson drops the crosser and there's no one home. But you can simply not do that in a football game and expect to win unless you're playing against Cincinnati right now, because they're even worse on defense. And look, I know it's just one football game, but if I'm Dennis Allen, when I get in that office on Monday and the players come in, I would put together a play of 20, 25 negative plays and have a correction tape to watch and say, look, you never apologize for winning a football game at any level. Never do that. But this simply isn't good enough, and we have to get better.
Matt, this is the segment I've been waiting for since that game ended, a chance to talk with you about why and how that defense collapsed the way it did. The players were quoted afterwards and said, it's just a bunch of our errors, to be honest. Ooh. Like, that's what Byard said, and that's what Nashon Wright said. So were there schematic problems for Dennis Allen, or did you see more player errors as you watched the thing?
I would say player errors within the scheme. Right, you know, cover two, that's been around forever, right? So I think Brisker had some tough moments in cover two where he could have squeezed the seam a little bit harder, gotten there quicker, whether it's in the touchdown throw, both touchdown throws. You have to be in a position when number one gets removed because jammed outside as a cover two safety, you have to squeeze inside and get in a position to top number two. But that's one that stood out. You know, and the winning the one-on-ones, you know, I know T. Higgins is a great player, but Wright's in a position to make a play. You got to make a play. I'm sorry, you got to locate the football and you got to finish. That's your job in that situation. I don't care if it's T. Higgins or a third wide receiver on a football team. When you're in position, he was in great position. You got to locate the ball. And there's a couple of those where the Bears defensive backs just didn't locate the ball and finish plays. And ultimately, I'll be perfectly honest. When you're watching that, when I watched that tape today, they looked a step slow. They really did. And I think it's okay to say that right now, they're a little speed deficient in the secondary.
Interesting. You mentioned Brisker. I wondered if he had a bad game, and partially wondering because of how much he talked leading up to it, but also because we think of him as a run supporter and a playmaker by the line of scrimmage, but this team got beat. Yes. I mean, there's got to be some stuff that's on him. You mentioned a couple things.
There is, and those are easily correctable. Those are playing fast with your eyes. Those are understanding what the corner is doing outside in cover two to give you time to push back inside over the slot receiver running a seam. And to me, speed, that's easily correctable. But to your point, that's what he is. And you're talking about his impact ability. It is in the box. It's near the line of scrimmage. It's being a disruptor, being a physical presence. But when he's deep, you know, in the deep half, last week Cincinnati found a way to expose him.
Matt, when we watch the run game of the Bears, Cincinnati's defense is not very good. They're last when it comes to defending the run in pretty much every category. I really enjoy, though, watching Bears offensive linemen, whether it's Darnell Wright or Theo Benedict, Bears receivers, Olamide Zaccheaus, he was really good, and Rome was really good. They got on blocks and finished blocks to help a hard-running Kyle Monunga have a great day.
Yeah, my young guy's fun to watch, man. He runs angry. He runs violent. He runs decisive with the football. Excellent pad level. Can push the pile. And more importantly, the contact balance really, really jumps. He gets you extra yards. That's what he does. He can give you two or three extra yards of carry because he's falling forward, because he is pushing that pile. And I agree, across the board, what they did in the run game was excellent. If I'm Ben Johnson, I can't wait to watch that tape when I get off the plane. And that's what you want to show your football team is, look, what we can do together as a run offense. Because I've always said, you know, the top NFL offenses, the run game is still the foundation of what they do. You need to build the pass game out of it. That was excellent. Yeah, that was really fun to watch.
All right, but you can tell us, just how bad is that Bengals front seven, Matt?
Oh, they don't have impact players. They simply don't. And that's one of the major issues with them now. And look, they played pretty good in the secondary. DJ Turner had a really good game against Rome Odunze. There were some reps on there where he really challenged them in limited space, limited separation. They did some good things at times in the secondary. But up front, it's just a lack of impact players, a lack of difference makers. And, you know, look, we know they have an injury at defensive end, but they need much more up front to compete.
Look, Matt, you mentioned Roma Dunze, and he had a rough day, obviously, with no catches. But we were talking about him as a blocker. He seems to be doing a job. Alamide Zaccheaus had a good game blocking with some very specific highlights. They're the second best running team in the NFL, which is unbelievable when you think about how things started and our concerns about DeAndre Swift and going to get a running back. This is, boy, this is some Ben Johnson stuff we're seeing. And what, tell us about the functionality of the run game as you watch it.
Right, well, that's the culture of your football team. That's a really positive sign for a first-year coach, that you've developed that culture that quickly. Because anyone, look, you can run for 4 yards a carry, and that's great. But if you really want to be a productive run offense, your wide receivers have to block. Well, that's how you create explosive plays. If you can block on the perimeter, that's how you get to the edges. There's so much value in wide receivers blocking, whether it's cracking inside, whether it's stalk blocking. Well, they're doing multiple things within Ben Johnson's offense. But what they're doing on the perimeter right now is allowing them to run the ball at a much more successful rate. And again, it's a team thing. It's a culture thing. And that's something that, if you've built it already, will carry over throughout the second half of the season when you really need to run the football.
What did the tape review tell you about Caleb?
I thought there was a couple big-time throws. Remember last week I said the speeds, how many do you need, 3 to 4? Two of them really stand out. Well, 3 of them do, and they were all to Colston Loveland. I think the first one, if I was still doing the NFL matchup show, the first touchdown to Colston Loveland would be on the show this weekend. That's a perfect play to show. And, you know, Colston Loveland in that situation is playing the boundary X receiver, so he split outside. A boundary X receiver is, you know, a Mike Evans, a DK Metcalf, that type of position, that type of isolation throw. That's what they did. And they got him in a perfect situation in terms of a red zone matchup. They released the back outside to force the linebacker to expand. Now there's a window. But Caleb had to create that window. So what does he do? He keeps his eyes on the linebacker and the post safety. He holds him there. He freezes him there. That's how you create your own window as a thrower. And then he threw an absolute laser to Loveland. The other one was a deep in-breaker to Loveland. That's what I call a dagger concept. You clear out, and then you bring the in-breaker behind it. And again, that's him removed from the formation. And obviously, the one at the end of the football game. But again, what do we see there? Removed from the formation. I put it on social today. I think he had 11 routes run from tight alignments, 10 from wide, 7 from the slot, and 1 from the backfield. So you're seeing how versatile he can be when he's a major part of the game plan. But in terms of Caleb, the negatives, it's like we've talked about throughout the season. You still need to see a stronger sense of timing and throwing the ball with more precise location. Those are the areas he still has to improve. And I'll tell you what, when he plays under center, I think he throws with much better timing. Another thing I struggle with as a coach at the high school level, it's hard to throw on time, in my opinion, when you're in the shotgun consistently, because your footwork is not the same. When you're under center, 3 and 5 and play action drop, when you hit that back foot, the ball is supposed to come out. I think it's a muscle memory thing for quarterbacks, and I think Caleb does a much better job when he's under center.
Wow, that's really interesting. Troy Aikman told us that a few years back, and now we're kind of seeing it, and you're seeing it as you look on the tape right here, because it forces you to play in structure more, right, Matt? And
that,
and that seems to be a big issue for Caleb. That's fascinating. Matt Bowen here with us on Spiegel and Holmes. I love that stuff about where Colston Loveland was lined up all over the place. Yeah. I don't know if you saw Brad Biggs this week. He wrote about how Sam Laporta gets a lot of production as the third and even fourth read in Detroit's passing game. And did Ben Johnson move Loveland up towards the 1 or 2 read sometimes in this game? Because I don't think he was getting targeted, perhaps because Caleb wasn't getting to 3 and 4 sometimes.
Right. I think he moved him up. And those throws specifically I just talked about, he did for sure. But that's what he can give you. And it's just basic stuff, Speaks. There's easy ways to scheme him. I use the term high-low. And high-low can be, you know, a shallow crosser with an in-breaker behind it. It can be a sit route underneath with a seam route behind it. There are so many different ways to get him open because he can align everywhere on the football field for you. And I think that's the you know, would be the fun part from a coaching perspective is how can I get him open this week? What are we going to see based on coverage standards here? What are the man matchups I can give him? Because you saw that touchdown, when he breaks inside, and I've been in this situation as defensive back, you're not getting to the football. You're just not. Because of the frame he has, the point of attack, you can't locate the ball, and he can shield you from the ball. No different than boxing someone out in basketball. you know, in the low post. That's what he can do for you in the red zone. So if I'm Ben Johnson, based on what I just did this past week, that is going to move up in the call sheet. When I get the ball in the red zone, especially the low red zone, 10-yard line and in, that's where I want to isolate him, especially at that X receiver spot.
I know it was 5 years ago, but did you remember at all what you thought about a Tryon Shoyinka when he was coming out of Washington?
I do. I remember writing about him for at ESPN when we did some of our draft work. And to me, that is someone with physical tools. 6'5", 260, around 260 pounds. Maybe a better fit as a 34 outside linebacker because he is so athletic. He can drop into coverage. He can match and carry a seam up the field. But what I remember writing back then is he needed much more refinement as a pass rusher. It can't just be the physical tools. And I think that's a thing for him right now in terms of where he hasn't taken that next step. But if you're the Bears and you are looking for a replacement, someone to get at the trade deadline, this is someone you take a flyer on when you're giving away a seventh-round pick because he has those traits, he has those tools. And maybe someone in that building, you know, had a pretty high grade on him coming out of college, and that's what they're using it for now. Saying, look, let's get him in our system. Because right now, if you bring someone at this point of the year, Lawrence, he's probably going to be a rotational pass rusher. But what if they can't get production out of him and allows them to, you know, build even more depth in the deeper rotation?
I love the move, honestly, because I think that in Dennis Allen's system, where he does occasionally like to drop those type of players into coverage, he's a guy that's shown that he can do it. Good luck against Bishop Mack this week, Coach.
All right, buddy. I appreciate it. Thank you guys very much.
Hey, Coach, I got to say that there's a recruiting battle going on for your son. It seems that Alex really wants to get young Grant Bowen to Iowa, if I'm reading this correctly. Lawrence, has Alabama offered him yet?
Not yet, but we'll be there.
Okay, well, I saw that Illinois offered him, so I imagine Olin will have something to say about that on behalf of the Kreutz brothers.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot going on here, Coach, about young Grant Bowen.
No, he's played very good football for us this year. He's developed a lot. More importantly, what I'm proud of, and this is the coach, more importantly, as a father, he's a great teammate. He was a great teammate, and he has really high character. That's what I'm concerned about, because that's what I can tell coaches when they ask about him. They can see the traits. They can see the size. They can see the speed. But when you're talking about your own players, especially your own son, you want to tell them about the intangibles they have and the intangibles that separate them. And that will allow them to grow and develop at the college level. And that's what I love talking about with my son, Grant.
Oh, I love that. All right, Coach, go get back on the practice field. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different, good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I could do Stephen A.'s job, guys. It's not that hard.
Danny Parkins.
QB1 party. All are invited.
Host of Fox Sports 1's First Thing First.
The stock is up on Caleb Williams and his undeniable talent. When you are the first person in NFL history to do something, it shows why people like me believe in the talent. First player in NFL history with 3 or more passing touchdowns, 50 or more rushing yards, and 2 or more catches. It's never been done before.
Because who cares about the catches from a
quarterback? He's an undeniable athlete. He's an undeniable talent.
Former host of 670 The Score before he abandoned us.
That's a Caleb Williams custom, baby.
Jersey number 1 is going to the Raptors.
You guys made it seem like as Chicago Bears fans, we had our guy, Danny Parkins, all these guys.
Danny Parkins on 670 The Score.
Wait.
Don't wait. He's here. Danny Parkins, the host of First Things First on Fox Sports 1. Danny from Wilmette, as he called in to the Score earlier in the week. Check Danny out on the newly expanded First Things First from 4 to 5 on Fox Sports 1. Joining us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. He is also on Twitch. Twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. Did you unleash those stats on them, Danny? As Danny from Wilmette, did you do it?
Oh, well, thanks for watching. Did I do it? Of course I did it. It was great. Whenever you get Walter Payton and Caleb Williams on a graphic on national TV, you're feeling very, very good about yourself. Absolutely. But you guys got it first. You guys got it first.
Yeah, I'm sorry I didn't watch. Some of us have like 8,000 jobs just to try to make like a tenth of what you make. You know, it's tough out here. These streets are tough. Danny,
Marshall,
they're so tough.
Don't hate the player, hate the game. And you can always catch up on YouTube later.
Or they have a rewatch really late night if you're up, if you're into that type of thing.
DVR. I know you got enough jobs to pay for DVR. So all sorts. Oh, man.
It's tough out here.
Marshall's a YouTube TV subscriber.
I had to watch the Monday Night Football game on FanDuel. That's how I watched the Monday Night Football game. That's where we're at.
You know how much money I make? I haven't cut the cord. That's how much money.
That's
I
a lot of money. That is fancy.
I know.
What about those premium channels, though?
All of them.
What?
I don't even watch EPL. I pay for the package. It's not a big deal.
That's hilarious.
just in case there's an international sporting event on, I want to be sure I get all of the channels.
Do you get CHSN? Because that's what the Bulls were on last night.
No, that's ridiculous.
That's where you draw the line?
Don't be silly. No, but I have the NBA package. I have League Pass, so as an out-of-market person, it's not a problem.
So you can watch. Okay, I like that.
I watch. Yeah, Josh Giddey, Robbie's guy.
Wow, he's up.
Yeah, looking great. Yeah, listen, you guys might not be locked in on what I'm doing, but I'm locked in on what you're doing. I'm still surveying the scene. I'm still aware of what is and is not allowed to be joked about on these airwaves. I'm still locked in.
The guilt that is coming from Danny. I did have a good laugh though at just the enthusiasm from Sunday's game. And now the trade deadline has come and gone. As Danny from Wilmette and also Danny Parkins, what did you think of the Bears? Just I know they needed somebody, but what do you think of the trade deadline?
Oh, I think that the Bears are not good enough to mortgage the future. I'm sure that's like the conventional wisdom around those parts, and I agree with it. Like, I mean, a third-round pick for Jalen Phillips is pretty steep. Now, he's got 3 sacks in the last 5 games, but he's coming off of an ACL and an Achilles. Like, I don't think that, you know, Ryan Poles should be giving up top 90 draft picks for guys with serious injury concerns. Like, people are like, why didn't the Bears go get Max Crosby? Like, what do you think Max Crosby would have cost if Jalen Phillips got a third-round pick? Same type of thing with Trey Hendrickson. So I think this team is good, but they are inconsistent and they are frustrating. But I am totally content with riding out the rest of this season and just seeing how far second-year Caleb Williams with first-year Ben Johnson, how far they can take it, and then having as much resources as possible to fill in the holes around them in the offseason. Like, they don't need to win the Super Bowl this year. So I'm glad Poles didn't go crazy at the deadline.
So my question is, do you believe that
this defense is going to patch it up well enough for them to win five of the next nine games and have a chance at the playoffs. I mean, I just can't envision with the way their tattered, injured defense looks that they can hold anybody well enough and score enough points on the quality of opponents they're about to see.
Yeah, that's probably correct. I mean, they're still not better than 50-50 in Vegas to make the playoffs. Their defense is, you know, they've got some problems that are not being solved. Right? Like, will Jalen Johnson play this year? When is Kyler Gordon coming back? Can they stop the run? Like, they've got some real issues that I don't think are going to be solved this year. So that's probably correct. But again, like, that's okay. Like, it's not great. It's not what you want. And maybe we'll be surprised. Like, you played Snoop Huntley instead of Lamar Jackson. Now, you still lost. But you played Joe Flacco instead of Joe Burrow, and you won. Now, it wasn't because of the Bengals' offense, but you understand my point. Like, maybe when you play the Lions, Jared Goff has a sprained knee. Maybe when you play the Packers, who just lost Tucker Kraft, maybe Jordan Love's out. Like, you've put yourself in a position where a blocked kick here, a fumble on a kick return there, a good special teams by you as opposed to four bad ones by you there. Like, you've put yourself within the margin of error where maybe you can make the playoffs. But I am, to me personally, more interested in focusing on what the Bears are than what they are not, because we're so early in this regime. And what they are right now through eight games, and yes, one of those games was against Cincinnati, and one of those games was against Dallas, arguably the two worst defenses in football. But even with the small sample size and even with those caveats, the Bears are fourth in the NFL in yards per game. They are sixth in the NFL in points per game. And they are second in the NFL in explosive plays per game. That is crazy. It is the Indianapolis Colts and then the Chicago Bears in terms of explosive plays, 12 runs of 12 or more yards, passes of 16 or more yards. Like, it's working. It's not consistent. It's not always pretty. It's not always on schedule. But if you would have told us eight games in to Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams that they would be sixth in the NFL in points per game with the second most explosive plays in football, 100% of Bears fans would have taken it. So, like, I am much more interested in focusing on what they are than what they're not.
Well, and I still go back to the, we discussed this how many times before the season began. We all look back to that 2022 Lions 1-6 start. A lot of that was on their defense. Like, you could see the offensive production and progress, but I feel like that was still part of the discussion and they're ahead of that. You know, we talk now about games they should have won and lost instead.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if they were 5-3, but there was no signs of life from the offense and the running game didn't improve out of the bye and Caleb didn't have three fourth quarter comeback drives already, you know, like if there was no signs of Ben Johnson's innovation and trick plays and explosiveness, that would be a much more concerning 5-3 than this 5-3. Like, this 5-3 is, man, pass rush isn't where you want it to be. Rush defense isn't where you want it to be. Secondary is really injured. They probably can't sustain this pace against better defenses and better teams. Like, I'm fine with it. Like, it's not great. I'm not saying it's an A-plus for the whole team overall. But halfway through the season, winning record, playoffs are still possible, Caleb improving, offense improving, the ability to win shootouts. Like, yeah, man, I'm pretty damn satisfied with what the Bears have been in the first half of the season.
I agree with you. Danny Parkins joining us here on Raheem Harris and Grody. And Danny, you can check him out on the newly expanded First Things First from 4 to 5 p.m. on FS1. If you can't watch live, DVR it. Or
Ben Johnson on today, too. Ben Johnson today.
Wait, Ben Johnson's on
that's
today?
That's big. Thank you for telling us.
Yeah,
so is this like the midseason checkup? Because I know you talked to him right before the season started.
Yeah, so he you know, I don't want to like overstate it at all. We text occasionally. Greg Jennings, who comes on the show, Greg was on Miami when Ben Johnson was with him in Miami. So they have a real nice rapport. And so, yeah, he talked with Greg and I before the year. He talked with Greg and I for the show today. And, you know, I'm confident that it's going to be a semi-regular thing going forward. So, yeah, it's going well.
How much did you want to text him after the Bengals game, and did you?
I didn't text him after the Bengals game. The last game I texted him after I don't remember which. It was
the Ravens game.
I don't text him after the losses. I don't text him after losses. But I didn't text him after the Bengals win. I don't really know why. I think it's like 12 lifetime texts. Like, it's nothing crazy. But I just, it's a nice rapport. He appreciates, you know, a Chicagoan on national TV. And, you know, give him a restaurant recommendation every now and again. And away we go. That sort of thing.
What restaurant?
Yeah, well, I would just say this. I don't want to reveal too much, but I would say that the and I see you guys are going to the ISO cam to get ready to clip everything. We got to go clip. We got to go viral. We got to get. I would say that the Wiener Circle's proposal is like maybe possible. That's all. That's what I'll say. I would say that's not completely off the table at some point. I don't know when. He's not telling me when. I don't want to blow up his spot in any way. I'm not saying this week or anything, but I would say that the Wiener Circle's proposal is in play.
I have a theory. My theory is, if they clinch a playoff spot, that shirt's coming off.
I don't know. I promise you, he has not shared that with me. But what I can neither confirm nor deny is that off air, when we were getting ready to set up the taping, I may or may not have explained to him what the chocolate shake was at the Wiener Circle. That might have been my job today. Yeah,
you know what? I'm glad to hear that Poochie got her shout out. You know, the queen of the Wiener Circle, and that everybody who works there, it's good to know that everybody's getting their credit and their due.
What's the obsession with taking the shirt off? What's this chocolate shake I've been hearing about? Well, Ben, let me tell you. So I did. That's the thing that happened today.
I'm glad that that happened for you guys.
Off air. So there's no, you know what I mean? So I don't need this clip out there. I don't need that in my life, in my mentions. But just know that now Ben Johnson is aware of the allure of the Wiener Circle. I did my part on behalf of Chicagoans.
Okay, so speaking of mentions, and I'm not quite sure you can control that. It might be clipped somehow anyway. I noticed that you noticed that Rome's dad noticed what Rome was talking about. I don't know how many different layers we're going to get to this, but you understand the Twitter discussion, discourse, competing tweets going on with Rome's numbers posted by his dad. Then the Bears post a video of Rome mic'd up and saying he's selfless. And I noticed that you noticed all of it. So what do you think?
I was debating whether or not I was going to ask him about it, and I chose not to because I am very sensitive to like what are Twitter stories and what are real life stories. And I think that this is a Twitter story at this point. I don't see it impacting Rome. I don't see it impacting the Bears in any way. You know, Rome's dad has 3,000 followers. No one knows who the hell he is. Like, this isn't like a Carl Williams situation. I think it's completely ridiculous. His son is awesome. His son has the best connection with Caleb of any pass catcher on the team. He leads the team in targets, and by all accounts, he's a great kid. And you know, he's a dad being protective of his son. And I thought his response of like, what about the team? And he was like, I'm on team Rome. Like, he should be. He's his son. You know, I will be on team my kids. You know what I mean? But like, I think it would probably be in Rome's best interest for his dad to get off of Twitter. But do I think it like actually impacts the Bears or Caleb or Ben Johnson in any meaningful way? No, I do not. I don't think it's risen to that level yet.
I think it's a silly
internet story.
Well, you say it's a silly internet story, but we know it's him and he's talking. My question is, do you feel the same way about, I don't know, a Hall of Famer saying the same thing about his son that plays on the Arizona Cardinals? Because he went and said, ask me, I'll tell you everything I think about this.
Here's the thing. I'm not sure what you know about Marvin Harrison Sr.'s background.
I lived in Philly. I know, Danny.
Yeah. So here's what I would say, Marshall. I respect everything that Marvin Harrison Sr. says and thinks, and I think that everything that he believes, I do not want to get on the bad side of that man.
You know what? Like, that's clearly not also. I'm glad that is your answer. That is the right answer.
Yeah, but also you would agree, like the you know, you guys are television and radio professionals and journalists, right? You got journalism background. You would agree that Marvin Harrison Sr., who is in the Hall of Fame, saying something about an offense carries a little bit of more weight in terms of its like journalistic worthiness than James Odunze. Like these are not like, one guy has 100+ touchdown catches in the NFL. The other guy has 3,000 followers on X. Which one's football opinion matters more? I don't know. It's a tough call.
Well, also, which team is more dysfunctional, you know, that they're talking about? And it's not the Bears in this scenario.
Which is a nice change of pace. And I will say, I mean, Marvin Harrison Jr., I think, is going to be really good. Like, I think the first few weeks of this year were really bad, and he had some moments where it was like, are you afraid to go over the middle? And like, why are you alligator-arming these passes? And it's going off of your hands and turning into interceptions, and you're giving up on routes. And then he seemingly had a moment of halftime of their game against, I don't remember who it was against. It was like week four or whatever. And he came out in the second half and was unbelievable. And he's been really good since. He cooked Deron Bland on Monday Night Football. Like, Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be just fine. But that's, again, that does not mean I disagree with Cena. I do not want to get on the wrong side of that man. Syracuse legend and a real straight shooter, as I understand it.
Good job avoiding the bait Thank you. I was definitely throwing out there. And that last line, wow.
Thank you. You got to wake up pretty early to get me to catch the bait, Marshall. Pretty early.
Congratulations on a lovely segment, everyone. Danny, that was awesome.
I know it was awesome. That's what I do twice in a week. I'm here more than Grody.
Dump him.
Unbelievable.
There's your son hitting the audio, hitting the drops.
I know. Yeah, like I was. That is a bit that I missed. That Robbie was my son. That I don't like. I'm far too young to have a son.
That's the bit now. It's just like slightly older, and we always say that like that's your dad. You know, that's Robbie. Explain the bit better than I.
Well, everyone says I look like you. Even like people that I know in my real life outside of work, they're like, you look just like Danny Parkins. And it's I would just say you are my media father. So you are my media dad.
Oh wow! I'm first of all sorry for your physical appearance.
Wow. Problem, well, someone called good. Me. They called me Handsome Parkins. So just want to clear that up.
Yeah. Okay. That's better for you. That's better for you. I have to live with people like, are you aware of your jawline? I'm like, yeah. They're like, what about your teeth? I'm like, I know. Like that's how good the takes are. That's how good the takes are.
One day I'll be just like you, Dad.
I can make enough money to not cut the cord, look like this, and be on a really popular national television show every day.
It's really popular.
Amazing. Pretty amazing.
Love that for you. Thanks so much, Danny.
I was just entertaining and seeing where
does Marshall like me? Put it on the poll.
I love you. Poll. What are you talking about? I've co-hosted a show with you. You had me on, and I had a great time when we were together. I love you.
Oh, good. Good. Well, I really like you, too.
Yeah. He's easy to love.
Please tell Ben Johnson to not bring the kids to the Wiener Circle.
That's not in play, but he was tickled pink. I'm just really glad he now knows what's going on at the Wiener Circle and what the lore of it is. And again, I can't believe that no one with the Bears told him about it. Like, what's going on over there? Yeah. Like, fill him in. It's not just any hot dog stand. Like, come on.
Communication. Yeah.
I took care of it.
That is important. Danny Parkins, you can catch him at 4 o'clock today on Fox Sports 1 and every day. Danny, thanks for coming on.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Hi, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
John Heyman, insider for MLB Network.
Chicago is watching carefully, no question about it.
New York Post columnist, Curb Your Enthusiasm enthusiast.
You hate people. Well, I hate people individually, but I love mankind.
John Heyman with Mully and Haw.
I'm going to endorse the point where I say you never know with the Cubs, but I'm going to retract the I like the White Sox.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to the great John Heyman. He joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. John, good morning. How you holding up?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
It feels like that World Series, first of all, phenomenal World Series. I was really fortunate to get to watch it with family members, and I got to tell you, it was thrilling. It was back and forth, and I, you know, like most baseball fans, I'm fearful that the Dodgers are creating this dynasty, but they earned that one, man. They earned that World Series. Whoever won it has my vote. That was just a phenomenal performance up and down the line, and what a game seven. Great stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's a legit dynasty, but they were outscored, I believe, 34-26 in that series. Right. So, I mean, hats off to the Jays. They played very, very well to keep up with this team of superstars. Yeah, I mean, it was a really good World Series through game six. Game seven made it. I mean, so many plays by inches, Muncy in there for a bunt. They do the butcher boy, lines it right to him. Could have went 2 inches either way. Toronto ends up winning that game. The play at the plate, the force play, I mean, inches, IKF just out. That great catch by Pies. I mean, on and on. You know, one play here or there made it. But the Dodgers end up winning again. They weren't dominant this year, only won 93 games. They say only, but there were teams that won more games, as we know. And, you know, they were great in the playoffs for the first three rounds. That last round, Toronto played them even or better, even.
So that should go a long way toward dispelling the idea or the notion that the Dodgers are ruining baseball or they're bad for the sport or the game. I'm sure you have thoughts on that, John. Also, help us put into perspective just how good of a World Series it was in your mind based on others that you have covered over the years.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that it's a perfect situation right now where you have a team that is great and hated, but you know, is no guarantee to win the World Series. So that is great. Ones I've covered, I mean, 86 was barely before my time, so I did not cover that World Series. But, you know, I am partial to the 91 series with a 1-0 game there. Game 6 and 7 were fantastic there. Also had a two last to first teams in that one. You know, this game seven to me was the most exciting of the game seven. So if you want to go by that, I think this is the winner.
John, we've been talking about the Cubs of late because of the fact that they have allowed Shota Imanaga to hit free agency. It doesn't necessarily mean they're done with him. There's the possibility that they can make him an offer, but the reality is he probably accepted, so maybe they don't make that offer. And then they turn around and they trade Andrew Kittredge back to the Orioles for cash considerations, and it makes you wonder, you know, clearly they need a top-of-the-line starter, and clearly they got to rebuild that bullpen with the free agents and the selling off of Kittredge.
Yeah, I mean, they obviously have the defense with three Gold Glove winners. Now time to really bulk up on the pitching, and that will be the priority for them. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Yeah, Schroeder, that's a surprise move to me. I mean, did it turn in that last month? We had a 6.5 ERA and 10 home runs in 27 innings. It might have. I mean, the guy was a really good Cub, did have a solid season overall in ERA under 4 last year. Pitching is a funny thing, though. A lot of surprises there. I didn't think Flaherty would opt out. I didn't think, would opt in. I didn't think Bieber would opt in. They both did that. And then, of course, Schroeder, I thought 3-for-57 seems reasonable for a top of the rotation. So, I mean, maybe not a true ace, but certainly at least at the worst, good number three starter. Really surprising there. So, they're gonna look at pitching. Obviously, you've got the big question with Tucker, but pitching seems to be the key for the Cubs at this moment.
Yeah, I don't think Schroeder was as strong down the stretch, and that kind of dictated what they were doing, John. He gave up a lot of home runs in the final part of the season.
27 innings, right? Yeah, 10 home runs in 27 innings. I mean, it's funny how that turned on 1 month, but, apparently it did.
Let's talk about a couple guys in New York you're familiar with that opted out. We knew Pete Alonso was coming, but that's official now. He opted out. Cody Bellinger, too, with the Yankees. Do either one of those guys seem like guys who are going to be leaving the city after they did this, or will they be going back to their old teams? And if they are on the open market, where do you think they might end up?
Yeah, I mean, free agency is kind of a guessing game at this point. Right. I mean, I think the Yankees are going to make a good effort on Bellinger. It's going to be interesting to see what the Mets do. Steve Cohen kind of saved it last year with a one-year deal. I mean, 2 years with the opt-out on Alonso. It feels like with all the talk about the defense that the chances of them keeping Alonso are less this year than last year. Bellinger, I think, has a good chance to wind up in New York, whether it be with the Yankees or the Mets, because he does fit both those teams. The guy who can play center and first. I mean, Tucker is clearly the number one free agent, but there's certain teams that are going to like Bellinger better because Bellinger can play center and first, so he's more versatile than Tucker is. He did have a better year defensively than Tucker did. So it will be interesting. Tucker is the number one guy, will get the most money, but Bellinger's finally in his third free agency going to get a big long-term deal. I don't think there's any question about that. Alonso is very interesting. Teams do not love the slugging first baseman unless it's Guerrero, who's obviously showed that he's a very good defender throughout the playoffs as well. It's going to be interesting to see where he does end up, who is willing to go against the grain and get that slugging first baseman and give him big money.
John, as far as Tucker is concerned, obviously there's been rumors about the Dodgers, and you look at their outfield, and it's kind of an interesting idea to sign him on top of everything else they have. I'm just curious, do you believe the Cubs are really in on him? Do you believe they're willing to pay for him, or they're willing to do more than just talk a good game about that?
Yeah, my guess at this point is that he probably will end up going elsewhere. I mean, certainly they would like to bring him back at some price, but I think there are going to be other teams that will give a bigger price. I mean, we've talked about the Cubs for a long time, and now I saw, we don't know these numbers are exactly accurate, but the disparity between their revenue and their payroll is the highest in baseball. So, I mean, you could call it the pocketing the most money or whatever you want to say, but, there are obviously other expenses besides payroll, and, maybe they have more expenses than some teams do, but, they do not go crazy in free agency. They've not had a $200 million contract. This will certainly be at least a $300 million contract. I saw one of the prognostications had Tucker at $460 million. I don't see that at this point after the year that he had with the injuries, but I do think it probably is too much money for the Cubs to spend. Not too much money that they can afford, too much money that they would spend. And the fact that, it wasn't a great ending for Tucker, the fans probably aren't clamoring for him to come back. They'll take alternatives. Certainly, probably would welcome back Schwarber, somebody like that, and they might be even more excited about at a lower price. I think it's probably a long shot that he come back to the Cubs.
Cubs are good at messaging. They're going to have somebody explain that gap between revenue and spending, because I know internally there's some conversations they dispute that. But you're right, John. It's getting a lot of traction, and I think they have to address that at some point in time, because the perception is, and is growing, that they're not going to be able to go out and be in these bidding wars. They're not going to be able to act like a big market team should, and you wonder how that will affect things. So it's a great point by you. I'm just curious, when you look around switching to the manager hires, who do you like and what ones surprise you the most?
Well, I do like Schumacher with the Rangers. He was great with the Marlins. I do like Walt Weiss. He's the logical choice with the Braves. There are only three guys with experience who've been hired so far. That also includes Shelton with the Twins, who they are familiar with. I mean, the Giants is a gamble. That could be a grand slam, or it could be a strikeout on three pitches with Vitello there. I mean, he was a great college coach, but, those of us who cover the major leagues and talk to major league people and scouters and scouts and other people, they're pretty skeptical. Now, he's obviously a great showman. We shall see. I mean, there is a value in marketing. As you mentioned, the Cubs are great at messaging. It does help to have the right message. The guy's a great talker, but it's a big gamble in San Francisco.
John, I'm curious. It's very hard to even bring up the White Sox after three consecutive years of losing 100 games. They did get better. Now you have new assistant coaches on the staff. They went out and hired Zach Bove, who was the assistant pitching coach with the Royals, and he's now the Sox pitching coach, and they've hired Derek Showman, who is a local guy made good. He was with Florida as an assistant hitting coach. He'll be the hitting coach. I'm not going to ask you to break down those guys. I'm just very
Thank
curious.
You.
Yeah, I'm very curious as you see changes on a team, and you see Will Venable getting more control over his team. Does that signify anything in terms of where they're at? And by the way, they picked up the $20 million and are bringing Louis Robert back for trade, apparently.
I don't know those gentlemen who have been added. Will Venable will be more comfortable with them, and then maybe that will be a plus. I don't imagine that's going to turn things around immediately, at least. Luis Robert, you might be right. It might be for trade at the deadline. For now, he doesn't look like such an underpay that you're going to be able to get value for him. I mean, he was hurt at the end of the year, did not have a great hitting year, looked a little bit better before he got hurt there, but when they were trading him, there was no other team that was in the running, at least, that was going to pick up this option. So it could be certainly a trade option at the deadline. If he plays like he can play, it would be a good, very good trade option. So, I mean, it's a gamble. Nobody thought when he signed it, or certainly after that monster year he had a few years ago, that this would be a gamble, that they thought this would be obvious, that he was a big underpay, but at this point, he's going to have to reprove himself to become that great trade value. He may. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that he was a Gold Glove caliber outfielder and he hit 38 home runs. So, it's not zero chance. It's certainly a reasonable chance, but it is a gamble to do that. $20 million a year, that's a high salary for a White Sox player if they're not able to trade him.
John, we only have a minute left. Going back to the World Series, compare and put into context, how great was what Yamamoto did in coming back in Game 7 after pitching Game 6?
Wow.
Being the MVP, have you ever seen anything like it? Is there anything to compare it to?
Well, I saw that statistically it compared to Randy Johnson. I don't remember the rest factor that Randy Johnson had. He came in relief once. I think he also won three games, if I recall. That was a generation ago, 24 years ago, but statistically similar. It is interesting. One guy is 6'10", the other guy is 5'10". Yamamoto, amazing. What an amazing pitcher. You know, I think we've underrated him. He certainly is not overpaid, as people thought when he came over. People were thinking $200 million. He had been a three-time Cy Young winner. They don't call it Cy Young over there, but three-time Cy Young winner. Obviously, the Phillies, Mets, and Yankees were clamoring. The Dodgers have a good thing going. That is one of their great advantages. They have really figured out how to get the best Japanese players, and their two best players this year were Ohtani and Yamamoto. And I don't think there's any argument on that. Betts and Freeman are first ballot Hall of Famers, but certainly it was Yamamoto and Ohtani that are most responsible for this World Series win. I mean, I guess you could say it was Paez and Rojas and Will Smith based on the last three innings, but their best players were Yamamoto and Ohtani. And it was incredible. I mean, going into that game, I think I'd written that everybody was available with the Dodgers except for Yamamoto. I should have said except for presumably Yamamoto. I missed a big word there. Didn't really feel like he was going to be back. And I mean, even at the press conference before, after he won Game 6, he kind of joked and said that, you know, he's not going to say at the press conference, I'm out or whatever. But he basically said, I'm going to enjoy watching them play or something like that. So I kind of believed him. But word got around right before that game, he was willing to do it. So good for him.
Extraordinary, John, as you're pointing out, that they've won back-to-back World Series with two different Japanese pitchers as the MVP, including maybe the greatest player anyone's seen in years and years and years. Great stuff, John. Thanks, John.
Great talking to you guys, as always. See you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Arrow. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Arrow uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Arrow will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Arrow can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/arrow. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS.
With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.